Cut your hair.
Cut my hair with a piece of glass.
And you started to look butchy looking.
Started to look butchy. And like I say, I didn't have to approach anyone. I was getting what they call commissary. The girls would send me little notes, feminine girls would send me notes with a pack of cigarettes or candy or coffee, jars of coffee. And when you're in prison and you have no visitors and no way of getting anything, then you appreciate all this stuff.
I bet.
So I picked out a couple from each division, one from each division.
A couple of girls?
One girl from each division, which I had four. Okay, four in each division. Now, a division means it's like an apartment building. It looks like an apartment complex, and it has four divisions where you're locked in, but you have a big rec room, and you have your bunking area, and you have your showers and stuff like that, but you're divided.
Yeah, okay.
You're divided. There's one on the left side, one on the right, and so forth upstairs.
Uh-huh.
There's like four. And I had one in my division and one in all the other three divisions, which all came down to a big blow-up at one time because we all met out in the yard.
Uh-huh. And you were seeing all these girls, or how would you see them?
Yes, you couldn't see them. I could only be with the one in my division, all right? You could not get busted for, they called it a DG, Degenerate Act, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's a DG. You could not get busted doing anything. So we used to have people called chickies. A chickie was a lookout.
Mm-hmm.
And you would go into the shower, and the chickie would stand, you'd be locked in the shower. Two girls were allowed in the shower at one time.
Convenient.
A chickie would stand over to the side of the glass door, because it was a glass window and the door, so the matrons could look through when you walked by. There was no shower curtains on the thing. And I used to get it on in the shower with this girl, and the chickie would tap on the door if the matron was coming up the walkway, up the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And we would stop, and I'd jump into the shower stall.
Uh-huh.
And a chickie would watch late at night when you had the time when the matrons were going to look in on you.
Yeah.
You had to at that time. And I would fluff up my bed with pillows.
Yeah.
And make it look like I was in the bed. And I would go down into her bed, which was at the end of the... We had about 16... to 20 beds in a dormitory. And she was at the very end and I was at the very front, so I would go down there and we couldn't be seen. So that worked out good. The other girls, I met one. I was working in DKB, which is dining room, kitchen, and bakery. And we would meet it was like the kitchen area. And it was like a freezer part, and the great big canisters where you make a whole lot of soup. It's like a big bowl, only it's huge. It's like the size of a room.
Yeah.
Okay. And we would get down between the back of that. It was like against the wall, but there was it was standing out a little bit. And we would get down behind the back of that and do it. And we'd have a chicken for that, too.
Uh-huh.
You know. So that's one of the girls that I was with, and then I had to work in the laundry. See, we had different jobs we had to do.
Right.
We wouldn't stay on one job all day. Like in the morning, I would go to the laundry, and you work a few hours in the laundry, and you go to lunch. Then from lunch, you go to school cleaning, or dormitory cleaning, whatever they decided to send you. You had a regular schedule for like 3 months. We had a regular schedule. We had the laundry, go to lunch, go to school, school cleaning, because they had a school there. You go to school cleaning. Then from school cleaning, you go to kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And you work in the kitchen. I mean, it was a regular work schedule all day long. You get up at 5:30 in the morning and go to bed at night. But it was all work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would meet
the girls. What what did you have any feelings for these girls? Did
one. One I did. Mm-hmm. One I really had feelings for. I liked the other girls, but one I really had feelings for. she went free, mm-hmm. and I couldn't keep in contact with her.
You had been in one relationship prior to this with a woman.
The one who turned me.
Right, who was sort of half closeted.
Right, right.
How did you know?
I didn't have just that one relationship because I told you at the time that I was going through court cases, I had met the very butch girl.
Oh, okay.
Our friend.
Uh-huh.
And I started living with her.
Okay.
Before I got sentenced.
Got it, okay.
Okay.
So you'd had experiences with two women by
right,
this time.
Right.
And you had been femme in those two relationships.
Yes.
How did you know how to suddenly just turn over? I mean, make that kind of, it seems like it's a radical switch in how you act, you know, both socially and sexually. How did you do that?
Well, in the first relationship I had, I was really more butch than she was.
Uh-huh.
Especially in bed.
Yeah.
Especially in bed. I made the first move in the very first sexual act. And, but then with the second girl, I could not, she did not want me to do that. I think in all the years I was with her, I only made love to her once.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she was very, I don't know about that, but she was aggressive and she wanted to do it.
The term that seems to be used about women who are like that is stone butches.
Yeah.
Is that the term you
That's
use?
That's what she is. That's what she was and still is.
Uh-huh.
And I admired that.
You did.
I wanted to touch her really bad because I loved her deeply. Uh-huh. You know, it was like I'd give up my life for this woman. And I wanted to touch her. But she more or less convinced me that when you're a stone butch, you do not get touched in that way. And that was the way it was. And I accepted that.
What was admirable about that?
I think it was because I knew, I don't know, I knew she was a virgin, okay? I knew she was a virgin. She never had a man, ever. She was just different. I was just never with anyone who wanted to totally be the aggressor and not expect something in return. Like even with a man, it was where they wanted you to do something in return, you know? And they expected something out of you. And I admired her for being the way she was. Just the total aggressor, the protector, and the lover. She was going to be the lover and show me that she was my man. And that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. I felt good about it. I never had to approach her to ask her for sex. We were always in a sexual.
You had a lot of sex with her.
Right.
All
through the relationship up until, don't know why I did it, but the last 8 years. She tried to tell me it didn't appeal to her anymore, that she thinks something's wrong with her. She's has a problem with sex. And for 8 years, I went through this with no sex.
This is 8 out of the 22.
Right. And I still was with her. I lived with her. I lived with her.
And for almost 14 years then, you had fairly continuous sex?
Yeah. It started dwindling when we took on all these foster children.
How many years into the relationship was that?
Started taking in the foster children in 1970. About 77. I remember the first one we took because it was just before the blizzard.
77, and you had started seeing her in 60?
60, I met her in 64, but we started living together in 60, at the end of 60. No, beginning of 65, I'm sorry.
So for almost 12 years then, you had a very active sex life. Do you think...
Of course, I caught her cheating on me one time.
Okay.
I went after her with a gun. Her and her girlfriend.
Uh-huh. This is during that first 12 years sometime?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was, I remember the year. We just were going to California, and she was trying to get money out of this girl. She said she didn't love her or nothing, and she didn't. I found that out.
Yeah.
And she didn't come home one night. The girl worked with her.
Yeah.
And she called me up and told me she was going over to this girl's house for dinner and trying to get some money out of her. And I didn't like the idea, but I said, okay. And she went over, she never came home all night.
Yeah.
So in the morning, I found out where this girl lived, and I went there with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
With two of your friends that you know.
Okay.
One friend you know real well, the other girl I don't know. You must know.
I never knew the second one that well. But the first one, I knew very well. Yeah. I'm kind of interested in one of the things that we've talked to people about is sex frequency, and it seems like from all the surveys that have been done recently, and from the information that we've gotten from most of our narrators, that after a certain length of time, anywhere from 6 months to 3 years, sex starts going down radically for lesbian couples. That seems not to have been true in your case.
No. We were really active in sex for a long time, years and years. Like I said, we...
What does active mean? Like the usual frequency per week?
Per week, I'd say at least five times.
Mm-hmm. That's active. Mm-hmm. Over many years, that's very
yes.
active.
And some weeks, it would be like almost, like every night.
Uh-huh.
You know, and some nights, it would be twice a night.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be times, like on weekends, when we wouldn't even get out of bed, only to eat.
Yeah. Did you know other couples at the time? Did you hang out with other couples?
Yeah, Dino and Linda, and then Linda was with Joanne, of course.
Yeah.
We hung out with them. Andy.
Yeah.
Andy at that time was with, she's living with him.
Fran. Yeah.
She was with Fran.
Yeah. Did they ever talk to you about sex frequency in their relationships?
Oh, well, Dino and Linda did. Linda talked about it all the time. She thought she was Queen of the Nile, you know.
She was real pretty.
Yeah, she was pretty in the face, but I don't know if you ever seen her body. She looked like an old lady.
No, I never did.
Very bad wrinkles, very bad sags.
Uh-huh.
But she looked good in her clothes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, they used to talk about it. Dino always talked about it, you know. But they weren't as active as Marty and I were.
They just talked a lot.
They talked about it, yeah. Talked a lot.
Uh-huh.
They talked about, oh, we're going to do it tonight and stuff like that, but they didn't.
Uh-huh.
You know, at one point, we were living with Dino.
And you knew they didn't.
Of course. Marty and I had to sleep on a couch because they only had one bedroom.
Yeah.
So we got our own apartment.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that in your relationship, the frequency of sex was unusually high for most lesbians that you knew about?
I never thought of it at the time until later on in years. Yeah, I thought it was high.
You think now looking back on it?
We did an awful lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, and for some reason or other, it just dwindled. It stopped. It would be like three times a week, and then maybe one time a week, and then it went to one time every 2 months, and it got that way.
Yeah, that's a very familiar pattern, but it usually happens much earlier in relationships than you're talking about. But that is the pattern.
Yeah.
That's how it dwindles.
And I kept asking her what was wrong. In the beginning, it was the kids will hear us. Because we had foster children.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take them in. She wanted to take them in. And then I felt sorry for them, so I said, okay. We had tried once before to take the same children, and we had problems. We went to California, we came back. We left the kids here with their mother. Came back from California, and they flagged us down on the street one day.
Yeah.
And begged us to take them back, and I told them, and they said, no. We had problems with them before, and I learned.
Yeah.
And it came for Easter one day, a big Easter egg hunt for the kids, and they ended up staying.
So, in the beginning, it was the kids will hear us. And then, when the kids weren't around, what was it?
Well, the kids were always around, but we had people living with us, too. She took in a gay boy off the street.
Uh-huh.
And she took in another gay girl off the street, because they had no place to go. And
yeah.
I felt sorry for them, so I said, fine. I didn't think it was interrupting our relationship.
Uh-huh.
I was working as a dancer.
Where were you?
All over. I worked at the Federal Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
I worked at downtown the Cozy, Ciro's.
Oh, you were Ciro, yeah.
The 227 Club.
Uh-huh.
Radis's for a couple of weeks, but I couldn't handle it, so I quit there. Yeah, I worked all over.
Uh-huh.
Then I had to give it up because my legs gave out because of arthritis.
Yeah. It's hard work. It is hard work.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
I used to have to get drunk before I went to work.
Yeah.
Actually, high. Before
sure.
I went to work, because I couldn't get up there.
What did your lover think about your being a dancer? Because it's fairly exposed.
Well, at first she said no. And, see, I don't like admitting this, but I was a hooker at a certain time while I was with the St. Anne's.
It is on, and it's the kind of stuff that we've gotten from some of the women.
I didn't want to mention names, that's why I didn't know.
Oh, well, I think we're going to know.
Out.
Yeah, we can delete that.
Okay.
But that's...
And I got involved through it, through the people I just told you we lived with that you knew.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because Linda was up.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Because
she was...
We'll make sure all those names are gone.
Her butch had started her doing this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew kind
and so
of
so I went out with
that she was into
her
that.
One night
mm-hmm.
while my girlfriend and her girlfriend were out.
Uh-huh.
But this girl knew what her lover was doing, was doing on the street. So I went with her.
Uh-huh. Did your girlfriend know
no.
that you were going to do that?
No.
Okay.
I just told her. She didn't even know what Linda was doing.
Mm.
Oh, darn it.
Don't worry.
She didn't even know what she was doing. You know, she thought she was just going downtown to meet somebody
yeah.
that she knew for some money.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to go along, but I knew. And so I went with her. And while we're down there, her butch had, earlier in the week, had been talking to me about all the money that Linda had been, that this girl had been making.
Yeah.
And it looked good to me, because
mm-hmm.
we had no way of, my butch had just started a job.
Uh-huh.
We were sleeping on a couch in a three-room apartment
yeah.
with someone else and had no money to do anything. We were paying them rent, so we really had no money left. And we needed money. And I it looked good to me, it sounded good to me.
Sure.
So I went downtown with her. And I wasn't going to do anything. I was scared. I didn't know how to act or how to do it or what to do or who to go with.
What do you mean you went downtown? Did you go to
we
a place?
We went to a bar.
Uh-huh.
We went to a
what
bar.
What bar did you go to?
Wonder Bar.
Okay.
It was a wonderful hangout.
It was quite a mix. It was quite a mix, yeah.
Yeah. So we went down there, and she had already had an appointment with someone to meet there.
Yeah.
A trick. And he had a friend with him. And she told me that he was, you know, this guy she'd been seeing was a real nice guy, tricking with. She'd see him on and off.
Yeah.
He was a real nice guy, and he was from out of town. And we talked, we had a drink, and she said, come on, let's go. You go with him. And I said, I don't know if I should do this. What if my girlfriend finds out, right? We'll never tell her. We'll never tell her. She won't know nothing. I said, okay, I'll do it. What the hell, you know? So we went to the same hotel, only different rooms.
What hotel did you go to?
We went to that one, what was the name of that? Was it the Villa? Villa Hotel?
On Niagara?
No. It was right on Chippewa and Franklin there, I think. It's closed down now. In fact, the bar was right downstairs.
Fisherman's Wharf?
Fisherman's Wharf was right downstairs.
Okay.
Wasn't that the Villa Hotel?
It might have. I think the name is still actually outside on the Franklin Street side of that building.
Yeah.
May still be there.
Okay.
I'll check it out.
Well, I believe it was called the Villa Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The Villa Marie Hotel or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went there and...
Now, how did you rent a room? How did you get a room there?
Oh, well, it was easy. The guy knew all the girls that, you know, on the street. And he didn't know me because I wasn't on the street, but I went in with this girl and her boyfriend.
So she talked to the desk clerk?
She told him that we had to give him $5.
Each?
That's how it was. You had to give him $5 a piece.
Now, did you give him that money up front before
he
went in?
No, we were done.
Okay.
When we were done. And so I went to the room with this guy, and I only had to perform straight sex, which I never, all the time that I was in the hustling life, ever did anything but straight sex, and I lost quite a few customers because I wouldn't do it.
Because you wouldn't do things like oral sex?
Right,
yeah.
Or kinky sex.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the behind sex and all that. No
yeah.
way, I wouldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
And I lost some customers because I just wanted straight sex, get on, get off, get my money, and go.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Did you get to know this man? Did he give you a
yes.
name? Did he give you...
Yes. He only gave me his first name.
Sure.
He always gave me his first name
mm-hmm.
and what city he was from.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he comes in from out of town, could he see me? Because I told him he wouldn't believe me, but he was my first one.
Uh-huh.
And he finally did believe me, you know. And he told me, he said, well, he said, at least I know you're clean. He said, that's what I want, a clean person. I don't want a different one every time I come.
Did he use anything? Did he use...
Yeah, prophylactic.
He used a prophylactic.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. A lot of them didn't.
How old was this guy?
I was trying to get pregnant.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Because the girl I was with wanted a baby.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He was about 50-something years old, in his 50s.
Uh-huh.
And I was only 26. I was 26.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to bring me flowers, and he used to bring me cologne. He used to work for Ambush, in fact,
uh-huh.
company. And he'd bring me a whole slew of stuff. So anyway, the very first night I did it, I said... to my friend, I said, well, gee, that's not too bad.
How much did you make?
$100.
For how long a time?
Yeah, an hour.
No wonder that money's attractive. Whoa,
it
boy.
Was really good.
It's good
the girl
work.
Told me, she said, half hour and that's all. If they want more, they charge you more. Okay, she was like a pro, and I couldn't believe this in the short time that she was with this other girl. Taught her all this stuff, right?
Yeah, well,
no,
her friend I know, and she
was
smooth.
She was bringing people home to this girl, and I had to sit out on the porch.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's while she was...
Uh-huh.
And we left the bar. We only did the one trick. And, well, Linda did too that night. I waited for her.
At the bar?
At the bar. And somebody else wanted to go with me, but I was scared because I had just, see, it was like I met this guy I was with through my friend, and I figured he was okay. He was all dressed in a suit and everything. He was
yeah.
nice and everything. And then this other guy comes up to me when I'm alone and wants me to go, and I'm afraid because
yeah,
I had no one
know.
With me.
Yeah.
And I was really scared. I don't want to
sure.
go alone, you know. So I didn't go. So she comes back, and we go home. We're walking home, and we get... about two doors in front of our house, and this girl I'm with comes off the porch, grabs me by my hair, pulls me up the porch, and starts slapping me around. Let me see what you got in your purse. How much money you got in your purse? I said, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I'm lying through my teeth.
Sure. It's kind of silly.
She goes to my first purse and finds $100. That's the number I got. And I couldn't say anything. I was dumbfounded. I couldn't say anything. You might as well tell me because she told me.
So the other butch told on you.
Right.
After she swore she wouldn't.
Right.
Okay.
And then this other butch and I sat down and talked to my butch. And we more or less convinced her to let me do it, but that she was to be there. Not in room, but she was to be there when I met these people.
Oh, see.
And if I wasn't, I was to tell her where I was, and if I wasn't out by a certain time, to come and get me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had quite a few experiences.
How did she feel that first night after you talked to her about it?
She kept saying no. She still kept saying no. She got up in the morning and she said, I've been thinking about it. I don't think you should do this.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, we need money. If I can make this much money, just think of how much I can make if I went with like four guys a night.
Uh-huh.
You know, I said, I know it sounds terrible, but if I went, I said, we can come home with $400 a day. Do you know what that means? It means you don't have to work. We can be together all the time. You know.
So you wanted
to do
that.
I didn't want her to work.
So you didn't want her to work.
I didn't want her to work. I wanted to be with her all the time. And I wanted to provide for her. And why, I don't know. I wanted to provide for her.
And at the same time, you saw her as the protector and caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
So how did those things go together?
I just wanted to give all to her. Everything I could give, I wanted to give to her. I didn't want to have to see her work. I didn't want to see her have to go out and kill herself for measly bucks that we could hardly live on.
Sure.
And she did hard work, you know. And she worked
hard. What kind of work
was
she doing at the time?
At the time, she was working at the car wash up on Main Street.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, she was working there.
Yeah.
And she had been working there. And then she finally quit there. She always ended up going back sooner or later, but she quit there. And she, after I gave up hooking, she was working at a polishing company, Crystal Silvers.
Uh-huh.
And then she worked for a lumber company, Pete Moss company.
Yeah.
And the bags were like 50 pounds, 75
She did
pounds.
Stock work?
Yeah, throwing them on the trucks and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's hard.
Quite heavy.
How long did you do that? How long were you a hooker?
About 2 years, year and a half. Not very long, but close to 2 years, uh-huh. I would say.
How was your relationship with her emotionally and sexually during that period? Did that affect it?
Fantastic.
You had a lot of sex with her, too.
That was just about the beginning of our relationship. That was right after I came out and went free from prison.
Uh-huh.
It was just wonderful.
So it didn't affect it adversely?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She knew I was clean. She knew everything, if I did anything. And at that time, didn't want a child. I would make sure I took care of myself, you know, clean myself out and do everything.
Did you require the men that that you were with then to wear prophylactics, or not all of them? Or you didn't?
Didn't require it, but I required them to get in the shower before they even got into bed.
Uh-huh.
That was a must. And
did you ever learn how to do things like check them for disease?
Yes.
You knew how to do that?
I
who taught you how to do that?
Well, when I was with my kid's father,
yeah,
he had caught syphilis from a black woman.
Uh-huh.
And they had, him and his friends had all been out and they got this black woman and she let them all have sex with her. And he had syphilis. In fact, he met me when he had the syphilis. He didn't do this on me when I was with him, he just had the syphilis. And he was a medic in the service, in the Army, or Navy, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
He was a medic, so he showed me
how to check someone.
How to do that.
Uh-huh.
How he inspected himself before he had anything to do with me. He would inspect himself, make sure it was gone.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I learned. I remembered, you know. I used to do that. I used to really make them do that. I used to sit on the bed and make them tell them how to do it. I was so, I didn't want to touch it. I really didn't want to touch it.
Uh-huh.
And I would tell them what to do.
Uh-huh.
And the only way I would touch it is if I had to get a washcloth. And, you know, some guys, they like wet feeling. And some guys want you to wash it with soap and water for them to get hard.
I see. Yeah, because you have to manipulate them.
And they would, but I wouldn't be touching it with my hand.
Uh-huh.
As you know, the washcloth would be between us.
Sure.
So I felt, okay, I can do that.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to touch it.
Uh-huh.
That would make them inspect themselves.
Yeah.
No. I never caught anything.
Uh-huh.
And never had anything. In all the 2 years, I never had crabs, I never had sift, I never had nothing.
Yeah.
Because I was clean, I took care of myself,
yeah.
I made sure they did.
Did you know other women who were doing this? I mean, you went to bars?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I met quite a few of the girls.
And were...
Most of them were gay.
Most of them were gay?
Yes.
And they had butch lovers who...
Yes, would be there in the bars,
uh-huh.
waiting for them, or protecting them more or less to let them know.
Yeah.
Where
what was your relationship with those other women? Were you friends? Did you hang out together?
No, we never hung out together. We would see each other in the bars, and we would, like, if we weren't on a trick, we would all sit together and have a drink at the bar. We would drink together.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll be at your house for dinner, or whatever.
See?
We never compared tricks.
Uh-huh.
Unless it was an odd thing where something happened that you bring it up in conversation.
That was either interesting or dangerous.
Right.
Or, uh-huh.
Right. Like I had a guy who used to like me to whip him with his belt,
mm-hmm.
and pretend I was his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to do anything with him. Anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
He would make it that way.
And that's the kind of information that you would share mm-hmm. with these women? Because it was kind of an oddity.
Because there was some of the guys that came in the beginning when I first started, other girls would have the same trick, you see?
Yeah.
They would have had him at one time.
Uh-huh.
Or he would have went with me, and then later in time he might have went with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl would know that he was with me because they had seen me in the bar with him.
Yeah.
So they would ask me questions.
Uh-huh.
Is he okay? Is he a beat freak or what is he?
Uh-huh.
And I would explain to them.
So in that way, did you feel like you were looking out for each other a little, or?
Yeah, we were kind of protecting each other.
Mm-hmm.
A guy came up to me in a bar one time, and one of the girls that was with him would tell me, she says, marry him, don't go with him. She said, he'll slap you around.
Okay.
So I had a hard time with him,
yeah.
And I wouldn't go with him.
Uh-huh.
I would always take, the girls that I knew, I would take their word for it.
Uh-huh.
There were some girls that I didn't know that would tell me a trick was no good just so they could get it.
I see.
Because they were good payer.
So they were, there was a lot of competition with the girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. But after I got into knowing what I was doing with tricks, I only had a few. I only had guys that came in from out of town, or a couple that were right here in the city that I knew were not dangerous and were clean.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after the time I almost got killed. And it was at the same hotel that I went to with that other girl. Hello.
What happened?
This man, he met me at the Wonder Bar, and I was with my lover and some friends. And he talked to me real nice and everything. And I decided I'd go with him. So we went up to the room. He closed the door and he started calling me by a different name. Well, I said, well, you know, maybe he's, let him go, you know.
Yeah.
And he kept calling me this name. I think it was Gloria, I'm not sure. Then he grabbed me, threw me on the bed and put his hand around my throat. And I got petrified and he told me, he said, I'm not Gloria, I'm not Gloria. And he kept telling me all this time I was his wife. I looked like his wife.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He grabbed the telephone and he wrapped the cord around my throat.
Uh-huh.
And he started really strangling me. I kicked him, kneed him, when he was on top of me, between his legs, really as hard as I could. And he slid off the bed. I had to pull the telephone cord out of the wall because it was still wrapped around my throat. And the telephone was hanging down, a couple telephones on one side. And I had to pull it out of the wall to get out the door. He was coming at me with a homemade, it was like a homemade knife.
Jesus.
It looked like a knife that some guy would make in prison.
Yeah.
Okay? With the tape around the handle and everything. I got out the door, had no shoes on, and ran down the stairs with no shoes on, got the cord from around me and dropped the phone in the hallway. And ran out the door. It had taken me so long that my lover and a friend we were with at that time was parked outside. She had gotten into the car from the Wonder Bar and come around because she knew what hotel I was going to be in. And she was parked outside and was just going to come into the hotel when she saw me running out. Asked me what was wrong. I told her what happened. Well, her and this other girl went right into the hotel, past the desk clerk, went upstairs, and the stupid ass left his keys on the outside of the door in the lock. She had a crowbar. The other girl had something else. They went upstairs and they beat this man almost to death. They really did. He had the police after us and everything. She almost beat him. We didn't go downtown for almost 2 months. We seen him on the street once, and he was lame. He was walking lame. He had a broken arm. He was on the cast, and his face was a total wreck. After that, I decided I was only going to stick with the gentleman that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I started letting him come to the house instead of going downtown at all.
Mm-hmm. And your lover was at home?
Sometimes she was at home. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she would just go visit a friend, or she'd go downtown for a drink. And then I'd call her at the bar and she'd come home, or I'd go down and meet her. And we'd stay out and have a good time together. And I just told her I was tired, and she said she didn't want me to do it anymore anyway. So I started dancing.
Now, you cut yourself off from a very good income when you stopped doing that.
I know.
How did that
but
work?
But I had the foster children, and I was getting money at that time. In the beginning, I wasn't getting any money at all for the foster children.
Uh-huh.
The mother was keeping it all. And I was making money to be with them, you know, have them, and provide for them.
Uh-huh.
When I first started dancing, I didn't have any money in it either from them. That's right. I didn't have any money from them either. What happened was my lover just really wanted me to give it up. And I kept telling her the money was good, but then I was tired and I was kind of scared.
Sure.
And I didn't want to end up looking like some of the girls that had been prostitutes for like 15 years. And they really looked haggard.
Yeah.
You really did. And I figured it took a real toll on your body and your mind and everything. So I told her I would get a job as a dancer. We happened to go into one of the bars and we were sitting there and I said, gee, you know, I could do that. I'm a good dancer. So I had to get drunk, and I applied for the job right then and there. I asked the bartender if they needed another dancer, and he said, yeah, good. So I danced, and I did good. I made $250 a week, which was a far cry from what I was making, but I felt good about myself. I was working, and I felt good that I was doing something where I didn't have to lay on my back.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Now, I think that often...
I had no feelings for these people I was with.
Uh-huh. Often people think that women who dance, you know, who dance at the bars are also hookers.
A lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are. But I was not. Once I gave it up, I gave it up. I did meet a sugar daddy at the bar. Mm-hmm. And I had the sugar daddy for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
what
I don't
is,
have him no more.
What is being a sugar daddy?
He was the type of man, he was really old.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want sex.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want any kind of sex. All he really wanted was to show me off. He would take me out to where his friends were having dinner or to one of the men's clubs that he was going to. He'd say, he'd pull up and he'd say, now you're my girlfriend, remember that? I said, well, I know I'm your girlfriend. You know, his name was Andy. He bought me a house, he bought me cars, jewelry, he bought me anything I wanted. I got things for my mother from him, you know.
And she knew him?
She met him with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, we're going to start this again. I said, no. I said, I just don't want to, I'm not going to have sex with him. He's telling me that he doesn't have sex, so let's try it out.
Was that correct, that he really did not have sex in his life?
He didn't really want to at all. He did want to see me in skimpy clothes. You know, he brought me a maid's outfit and stuff like that to walk around the house and do feather dusting and stuff like that. He was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd always end up with, like, maybe $500. In one night, he gave me $2,000 to go put down on a home, and just to be out with him, to go to dinner with him, go to a show with him, and he was married.
He was living with his wife?
Yes. He's still living with his wife.
Uh-huh.
They moved out of the town now, and he used to come in and see me even then,
mm-hmm.
but I gave it up. I didn't want to be bothered anymore with him. In fact, the girl that I'm with now talked me into giving him up. And I decided, I used to hide from him sometimes when he was coming.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy, but I just didn't all the time. And he lived right here in the city. And I'd see more of him. And I didn't want to. We didn't have any time for myself and my lover.
Right.
So I didn't.
Oh, he'd want to be around a lot.
All the time. He was in love with me. He wanted to marry me. He wanted to divorce his wife.
I think I met him once.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to do this, and I would hide in my closet, or I would hide in places where when he would come in the house, I'd say, oh, she's not here, then she's gone.
Yeah.
You know, she's somewhere with her daughter or something, and he'd leave, you know, and I'd feel good then, because he was gone.
Yeah.
And towards the end, I couldn't handle him at all.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in, our project is interested in, the place of prostitution in the lesbian community, in the development of the lesbian community. It seems like it was fairly common.
Mm-hmm.
And that mostly it was femme women who prostituted, but sometimes not.
Sometimes there was a few butches.
Mm-hmm. What was that like? What were they like? What kinds of women were those butches who did that? And
well, the one we had living with us. We took her in off the street when she was sleeping in bars. You know, so
I don't remember her.
She wasn't in life that long. She started in the 70s.
Yeah. The only one that I knew, I'm going to turn this off to, I knew that there were always a few butches around, and I'm kind of interested in how those women were viewed by other women in the community, both butches and femmes.
Well, I know the people that I was communicating with at that time in the bars, the butches and the femmes, downed it. They looked down on it.
There was something wrong with a butch doing
it. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was disgusting.
Why was it disgusting for them and not for femmes?
I think it was just myself personally. I felt as though it was that they were lowering themselves. Here they're telling people that they can't stand men, and this is why they're gay, because they love women, and they can't have a man, they don't like a man touching them, or it sickens them to be with a man, and all of a sudden they're out making money with a man.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't want to be with a man because you hate them, or you're sick of them, or they're disgusting, or whatever, why are you out tricking them? Especially being a butch saying this, that you're the aggressor, you're the butch, you're going to take care of your woman, okay? That's how you feel about this.
Yeah.
Why are you out on the street tricking? Get a job. You're so manly, go out and work like a man and get a job.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Did they have any kind of derogatory names for women who did that, or?
Oh, well, you know, they would, here comes scumbag, or, you know, know, here comes the one that hates men so much that you can't wait to get down on them or whatever. I mean, they talk bad about them.
Yeah.
And yet they still talk to them. You know, they would come in and they would act like, oh, hi, how you doing? Smile on their face. I'd say hello and I'd turn my back. I never liked her or the other girl that was doing this in the bar anyway.
Yeah.
And that made it even worse, what they were doing, as far as I was concerned. I would never let the girl that I was, I mean, she would never do it anyway, but I would never let the girl that I was with, if she was butch, do that.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I've heard of, a couple of women talk to us about rolling guys, like...
I did that.
Like they would... In some cases, they'd take money out off the bar. In some cases, they might lift money out of their pockets. In some cases, they might actually get to the hotel room and take the money and run. They wouldn't actually do anything.
There's other things, too. There's other things. You set it up with your butch. And at that time, we had another girl with us, like I said.
Yeah.
She was living with us, and she would be down at the bar with us. She was also butch. She was another one that would go out with the guys.
Yeah.
But